We will turn, please, in God's Word to the book of Luke. The book of Luke and the chapter 5. The Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read from the verse 27. Luke 5, reading from the verse 27. And after these things, he, Jesus, went forth and saw a publican, or a tax collector, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. He said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. He spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. And we'll end there. Knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word. We will seek the Lord's face briefly in prayer. We each need the Lord's help as we meditate over these words that we have read. Let us each pray that the Lord will minister to our hearts today, that help will be given to the preacher and to hearer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee that it is our privilege to come to the Word of God. We thank thee today that we've not met here to try and work out what part of thy Word is true and what part may have been added by men. We thank thee that thou hast preserved thy holy Word for us. O Lord, we pray then, we come now and meditate over thy truth. We pray that the needed help of the promised Holy Spirit will be given. Take thy truth. Write it upon every soul. We pray today that thou will be pleased to grant salvation in this house. Cause every convert to rejoice afresh in the wonder of God's salvation. We pray this in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther said, The gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. The gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. And he said that sadness is hereditary to us, that is, on account of the fall, sadness is hereditary to us, and the devil is the spirit of sadness. But God is the spirit of joy who saves us. That is not to say, of course, that Luther never experienced sadness or feeling of depression. We know that he did go through times of sadness. But there was that recognition that the gospel brings great joy. In the Christian life, we are to live in the fear of the Lord. We are to live a life of reverence before a holy God. And yet that is not incompatible with joy. It is not inconsistent with joy. And so the gospel brings us into this fear of God, and yet at the same time, an overflowing joy with the greatness of what the Lord has done for us. So Luther also said, if you're moody, remember that God the Father smiles upon you. Our heart does not want to understand this, especially when we are challenged. We then think the opposite, that God is the enemy, that he does not esteem us and wants to beat us with a club. We are to remember then that on account of the greatness of the gospel, the child of God is accepted. That on account of what Christ has done for us, there is that smile of God upon us, and that is to bring us great joy. Now, the focus of the last part of Luke 5 is on this theme of joy, the joy that there is in the gospel. From verse 27, we read of the conversion of Levi, or called also Matthew. Levi was a tax collector, and therefore, in the eyes of the Jewish people, he was an outcast. And yet the Lord comes to one that's a social outcast and he says, follow me. Levi leaves his booth of tax collecting. He follows the Lord. We see evidence that he is truly converted as he does follow. He's a worshiper. He brings the Lord into his home. But he's also a witness. For he calls other tax collectors and other sinners to come and to meet with the Lord Jesus. But as you think of that detail, he brings the Lord into his house for a feast. This speaks of joy. And the scribes and Pharisees who lacked joy were quick then to point the finger. They make their complaint in the verse 30. Why do ye eat and drink with publicans, with tax collectors and sinners? You see, these people had no compassion on people like Levi. They had no burden for the undesirables. And they condemn then those that do. They had no joy themselves. And so they condemn those that are rejoicing in what Christ has done for them. We need to be delivered then from that spirit of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus then made a great statement in verse 31. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so Jesus was saying, I am the doctor for sinful souls. And he explains that he didn't come to save righteous people. He didn't come to save those that are good enough as they are. He came to save sinners. Now, of course, Scripture is clear that there's none righteous, no, not one. But you see, the Lord was explaining that until these scribes and Pharisees admitted they were unrighteous, until they took the place of the sinner and acknowledged that they were sinners, there was no salvation for them. People that think they're well don't go to a doctor. It's sick people that feel the need of a doctor, and the Lord is saying, sinners are to feel what they are. And they're to come then to the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ. But the scribes continue in their complaint, and they complain about Jesus' disciples feasting. So this complaint about feasting continues. But they say, the disciples of John and others, they fast. So how is it that your disciples feast while others fast? And the Lord explains in verse 34, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? And so it may be that someone would fast in days leading up to a wedding. But there's one thing you don't do at a wedding, and that is fast. And so the Lord is explaining then, he's not only the doctor, he's the groom. He's among his disciples. While they have his presence with them, why would they fast? They have the groom. They rejoice, and therefore they feast. Some might ask, well, for us today then, should we fast today or should we feast? We do both. We fast because we long to be physically with our bridegroom. But we also feast because the Lord is with us as the Holy Spirit ministers Christ to us. We today both fast and feast. But Jesus then told a threefold parable, or brought a threefold metaphor. Came to speak about a piece of clothing that has a hole in it. And he explained, if you have a piece of clothing that has a hole in it, an old piece of clothing, it's not wise to sew a fresh piece of cloth onto it. A piece of cloth that has never been laundered. Because what is going to happen when you wash this garment is that the new piece of fabric will shrink in the wash, and as it shrinks, it's going to tear an even greater hole in the garment. Then he said, you don't put new wine into old skins. And so he's explaining how in that day, wine was put into wineskins, not into glass bottles as we know. And so, after wine is fermented in those wineskins, you can't put new wine, new grape juice into them, because as that grape juice, as that wine ferments, it will expand. And therefore, the leather wineskin will burst, and you'll lose the wineskin, it will be broken, and you'll lose the wine. Everything will be lost. And so the Lord here is speaking about loss. If you take an old garment and you put a new piece of fabric into it, you'll have lost. You'll have wasted the new piece of fabric and made the old piece worse. If you put new wine into an old wineskin, again, you'll lose both. And so then the third part is in verse 39. No man also, having drunk old wine straightway, desireth new. That is, those that are insistent that they want to keep doing things their way, they are not open to be shown that the old is actually in failure. They will not come to the new. They will continue to say the old is better. Now, what is the Lord explaining here? Remember, it comes in the context of these Pharisees objecting to the joy of Levi and others. He's objecting to the joy that the Lord has as he feasts and his disciples. And so the Lord is explaining that these Pharisees would be quite content for people like Levi to come along and to follow the rules of the Pharisees. And perhaps they could have a little of an add-on. They could add on something of the teaching of Jesus. But the Lord is showing that his message is not have the old message of the Pharisees with a patch stuck on. Rather, the gospel is the sinner has need of something entirely new. You see, the message of the Pharisee was salvation through law-keeping, salvation through works. Therefore, while they claimed to teach the Old Testament, they actually had not actually understood the Old Testament. The key to the Old Testament is grace, right from Genesis chapter 3. They had missed the point that the law is the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And they were hoping by their law keeping that they could enter God's heaven. And so Christ is saying then, the gospel is not continue your law keeping for salvation and add on a little grace. Rather, salvation is by grace alone. You don't need a patch. You need a new garment. You can't just pour new wine into an old skin. You need a new wineskin altogether. Forsake the message of salvation by works, cast it aside. Come to grace. And this was the message then that the reformers in the Reformation understood. Their message was not, let us keep trying to make our way to God through Mass and penance. Rather, a message was, those things can never see. It's by grace alone. And therefore, they were able to cast aside the trappings of Romanism as the message of grace, grace alone, got hold of them. And this then is the gospel that we are to declare to men and women today, whether they are caught up in Romanism or some form of apostate Protestantism or some other sect, some other false religion. The common denominator of false religion is salvation by works. The gospel then is of an entirely different sort. Grace alone. And of course, grace alone will result in works. And that's not my emphasis today. But where there is salvation by grace, it results in works. Works must follow. But those works in themselves do not save. It's the grace of God that saves. And so then, I've entitled the message, it's grace alone that prevents loss. It's grace alone that prevents loss. I want to say first of all here that the Lord has an exposure of works religion. The exposure of works religion. The Lord never went soft on works religion. And here we see in this particular section at the end of Luke 5, again the Lord is exposing the folly of seeking to work your way to God through works. He shows that false religion is a failure. False religion is exposed as a failure. And so this idea of taking an old garment and sewing a patch onto it, the Lord is explaining that some would be happy with the religion of patchwork. But patchwork will be a failure. You can't mix the new into the old. Because there is this problem with the old. And so there's a problem with the old garment, the old piece of clothing. And there's a problem with the old wineskin. And the Lord is showing them that works religion is like that old garment. Remember how in the Old Testament we have that explanation. All of our works, all of our righteousnesses rather, are as filthy rags. Book of Isaiah. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now remember, righteousness is there is speaking then of your very best efforts. If you're not converted today, your very best efforts, the very best that you can do, what is that like? It's like a filthy garment. And it's actually more graphic than these words that are before us, a garment that has holes in it. The word that's used in Isaiah has the idea of a cloth that a lady would use monthly. It's a stained, defiled cloth. If that's what the very best a sinner can get before God, what about his worst? And so a garment has got holes in it. Merely sewing a patch on is not going to accomplish anything because the failure is still there. And through the New Testament then, we are warned of the danger of going back to a patchwork type religion. Remember as Paul wrote to the Galatian church, he was saying, some of you have embraced another gospel. Another gospel which is actually not another. He was saying, you're going to something of an entirely different nature. You hope to add on. You hope that some ritual mixed with Jesus Christ will accomplish what is needed. And Paul is saying in the book of Galatians, it's Christ plus nothing. It's not works plus Christ that saves, it's grace alone. And so, in the medieval period as well as today, the Roman church spoke and does speak about grace. They speak of the necessity of grace. But you see, it's works plus grace. The message of the gospel is grace plus nothing. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified, not declared right by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so when a man stands with his failure, having failure plus is still to stand in failure. False religion is a failure. Of course, in this day, we need to be careful as the Lord's people that we don't have a patchwork type religion. That we don't patch Christianity, the truth of God's word, with old tribal religions and practices. That we don't mix Christianity and worldliness. We don't mix grace with worldly entertainment. We need something new. False religion is a failure, but false religion is foolish. And notice how in verse 37 it says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Also in verse 36, no man putteth a piece of a new garment. And today, perhaps there's not much sewing of patches onto garments as there was in old times. But the Lord is saying that you ladies know and that it's pointless to take a new piece of fabric that has never been washed and to sew it onto an old shrunken piece of fabric. You know this. And again, you would know. Common sense would tell you not to put new wine into an old wineskin. It would be foolish. And so the parallel then the Lord is saying, how foolish it is to try to mix salvation by works with salvation by grace. They don't mix. You can't have it both ways. False religion is foolish. So man's efforts at self-repair are like an old garment and stitching up an old garment. Foolish. But then thirdly, false religion is exposed as futile. You think of having a piece of clothing and you've sewed this new patch on. And after you've worn it and washed it, the patch has torn an even bigger hole in your garment. It's useless. Or you took that wineskin and you put new wine into it. It's burst. It's useless. The wine and the skin are lost. You can turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. You see something similar in Jeremiah chapter 2 and the verse 13. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That old garment cannot hold a new patch. The old wineskin cannot hold new wine. And a broken cistern cannot hold water. And so there in Jeremiah, there is this lamentation. You've forsaken the Lord. You've forsaken coming to Him for mercy. And you've dug out, as it were, your own way. Your own religion. But it's a broken cistern. Can't hold water. What does that lead to? Great disappointment. And isn't that where false religion leads? To great disappointment? Don't we see it in the Pharisees? The Pharisees and the scribes had no joy. Here was a man that they despised, and he was transformed, and they could not rejoice in it. Their false religion was depressing and disappointing. It made them miserable. But grace brings joy. These Pharisees themselves then were dissatisfied. Oh, dear sinner, have you ever hoped to make your way to God through your effort? In the end, you will be dissatisfied. Dissatisfied in this life, and most certainly dissatisfied in eternity. To stand before God with only a broken, torn garment. To stand before God with a burst wineskin. Disappointment. So there's the exposure in this parable. But then I want to see the exhortation. There's the exhortation to come to grace. And so in these words that we have that the Lord has spoken, speaking this beautiful illustration, man is being told you must reject your old self-effort. So you have this old garment and you have a new piece of fabric. What are you to do? Cast away the old garments. You need the new. You have an old wineskin. Cast away the old wineskin. You need a new one. The old and the new are not compatible. And therefore, the old must go. And here then is the challenge to the sinner. You have put your confidence in the flesh and your ability. You have put your confidence in the past in your church attendance or some other religious matter. You need to cast away confidence in that. Or perhaps you put your confidence in an empty profession. You said words and you're hoping that by merely saying words that you're right before a holy God, and yet there's no effort of any transformation. Cast away confidence in something that is empty, false. Must come to grace alone. Perhaps there are things in your life that are holding you back. Perhaps you have realized that there are things in my life that would be incompatible with Christianity. I can't hold on to both, and you're right. But don't hold on to the old garments. Don't hold on to the old wineskin. There's to be death to self, death to the old way. Reject the old self-effort, but then we see man needs regeneration of his heart. And so what is needed then here in this illustration? There's need of a new wine bottle. There's need of a new garment altogether. And so then the sinner has been exhorted, leave the old, but come to the new, and the new is not of your making. You don't have to make this new wineskin yourself. You cannot form this new piece of fabric. You're to come and receive what is offered in grace. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Lord gives the new robe. He says, leave your rags and take the new robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isn't the gospel all about what is new? In conversion, there's a new heart. There's the new birth, a new beginning, the new man, a new song, walking in newness of life. If any man be a new creature, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Everything is new. And therefore, today, dear unconverted one, your need is of a new heart. Remember how Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. And the Lord said to him, ye must be born again. You must be born from above. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He had a worn out garment. He had an old wineskin. He needed to be born again. He needed the new birth. Now it's the Lord that brings about the new birth. To be born from above is to be born by the word of God. And yet Nicodemus had a duty to repent. Remember how we have that challenge in the well-known words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should
shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
What was the challenge there then? Repent and believe. Leave your effort. As far as trying to work your way to God through your works, leave that aside. Repent and believe. Christ then was the answer. And isn't it marvelous that when the sinner is brought to Jesus Christ, the new wineskin never becomes old. When the sinner comes to Jesus Christ, that robe of righteousness that the sinner is now wrapped in, it never develops old. It remains ever new. The joy that the Lord gives in the day of conversion, as Levi experienced, is a joy that is to persist through our Christian life. That every day we seek to live right before a holy God, and yet every day as we search our hearts, we recognize that we have fallen short. And yet every day for God's people there's to be joy restored. Because we see the salvation is all of grace. Now that does not excuse sin. That does not lead to careless living. But if that truth gets hold of us, we will see how inappropriate to wear this wonderful garment and to live like it in rags. How inappropriate to have a new wineskin, but live as if of an old, broken, burst wineskin that can hold nothing. So the old ways are to go. I want to close by looking with you at verse 39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth the new. For he saith, the old is better. I believe the Lord is speaking these words in reference to the scribes and Pharisees. What are they saying? Let me keep my way of trying to earn my way to God by works. They're like the rich young ruler. Remember how he came boasting of all that he had done. The Lord was challenging him to come to the new. He went away sad. He wanted to keep the old. Could it be that there's someone in the meeting today, and while it is obvious that the new is better, while it is obvious that grace is infinitely superior to man's way of trying to work his way to God, man's way results in loss. Christ's way is the way to glory. How tragic that some would say then, let me keep the old. Is that what you're saying today? Just let me keep the old. How foolish. Oh, that you would come then to Christ today. That you would say, nothing in my hand I bring. I've cast away all my boasting. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I bring. Praise God, Christ has dealt with our sin. It's through the cross that sin forgiven and cleansed. It's through the work of the cross that that robe of righteousness then is taken and it wraps the repentance. Don't stand your rights. Don't hold on to your first landscape. Come, Christ. May the Lord take his word and write it on our hearts. We'll bow together in prayer. Perhaps there is one in the meeting. And you know today all you have is rags, an old wineskin. Would you not leave your sin today? Would you not leave condemnation and come to Christ? If I could be of any help to you then, speak to me after the meeting. I can't save you. Even where you are now, you can call upon the Lord. Come, save my never dying soul. Our gracious Father, we pray that thou will take thy truth and write it upon our hearts. We pray that any in this gathering that are still trusting in something that cannot save, that can never please a holy God, we pray that they will even be brought safely to thyself. We thank thee for thy word. Pray that you'll continue to minister to our hearts. And, O Lord, we pray that you will bless our fellowship this day and keep our eyes focused on thyself. We thank thee for the refreshments that have been provided. We pray that you will bless those to us and retain our fellowship together. Continue with us, we pray in the Lord's name.